And some of you might have your personal favorites. Me, as a child, on my 12th birthday, my father thought it fitting to show me and five of my best friends the rated R movie Cujo. Needless to say, I struggled around dogs for a while. And still, the dog that we have is a Dachshund. So if it turns rabbit, or rabid, it looks like a rabbit, but I think I could take it. Top five were number one, Halloween. Number two would be, and I agree, I actually had this as my number one. Number two was Exorcist. I thought about putting the picture of the girl's head turning around. That just wasn't fitting for today's lesson. Third would be Psycho. We're talking about the original Psycho. Fourth, The Shining with Jack Nicklaus. And five was the 1972 Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All extremely scary movies. All gave me nightmares, still to this day. But none of which touch how scary what we are going to talk about today. How scary it can be if we allow our hearts to be infected, to allow our hearts to be taken by something that's not of what God has called us to be. You know, life is hard on our hearts. Life is definitely hard on our hearts. We experience loss. We experience maybe a family member. We've lost members of this body in this past year already. And it's a struggle for us. There's divorce that tears our families apart. There are diseases. When we hear of someone who is close to us that may have cancer, there are things that are hard on our hearts. There are disappointments, dreams that we have mapped out for our lives that fall short. Life can be hard on our hearts. There are things that are put in our lives that disrupt the rhythm of what God has called our hearts to be like. These disruptors are often, sadly, become a part of us. These things often become a part of who we are, but who we're not supposed to be. So I have to ask you today, how are things with your heart? I'm not asking how things are with your friends, with your family, kids, with your homework, with your finances, but how is your heart? You know, we never stop to check on our hearts. We never really stop and take the time to see, how am I doing today? We never really sit and take the time to focus on that because there's other things to do. There's dinners to be made. There's clothes to be washed. Today's agenda, we've got church, kids' camp meeting, small group. Man, it's busy. And life can get so busy that we just stop thinking about how our hearts are doing and focusing on what it takes to get those hearts better. You know, as children, as teens, as adults, we learn to behave and we learn what not to do. We learn what's good, we learn what's wrong, and we modify our behavior to kind of stay away from those things. You know, I am happy to say I am a professional Christian. Yes, I am. I love my job. I get paid to be a Christian. Sounds weird. But when you think about it, you know, I have learned to live my life, to modify my words, to modify my behavior so that I don't damage my reputation. And the many sins that I have, I try to keep from you so you still see me as the youth minister. As you still see me, as Tim likes to refer to me as somewhat of a minister. You're sort of a minister, aren't you? As long as we say the right things and we do the right things, we are very tempted to believe that everything is all right. Everything's fine. But once we are away from the public eye, our heart starts to speak loudly to who we are. The real us eventually will surface. Through some way, the real us will come out. You know, evidence of an internal battle, guys, is when you say to yourself, I can't believe I just said that. You know, I really can't believe that came out of my mouth. Or, I can't believe I just did that. I'm not a doctor. Don't claim to be one. But doctors want us to have checkups. Right, Dr. Davis? It's good to have a checkup. It's good to go and get an examination. If you go in today and find out that you've had a heart problem for years, never knew it. My mom had a heart murmur, I guess it would be. She had it pretty much all her life and found out recently that she's had that. I say recently, but it's been about 6 years. But she's lived her whole life with it and had no clue until a doctor told her about it. You know, there's times that we try to cover up our problems. You know, we might even try to mask that heart problem and not let people know what's going on with us. But just as a heart attack has the potential of damaging our body and taking us down, the spiritual effects, the spiritual heart disease that we have right now has the ability to take us down and put us out. Pistol Pete Maravich. For some who don't know, most of you probably don't know who he is. He was a LSU basketball player. If you've kept up with basketball and, you know, the recent 20 years, you will know who he was. LSU basketball player still holds the NCAA Division I all-time leading scorer. In 1969 and 70 season, he averaged 44.5 points per game. Over his career in college, had an average of 44.2 points for his career. It's impressive. He was a five-time All-Star and was recently named to the top 50 best all-time players in history. Pistol Pete. In January 5th of 1988, only 3 years after being removed from playing professional basketball, 70-game seasons, Pete dropped dead of a heart attack. Still worked out every day, was playing a pickup game with some friends, and dropped dead of a heart attack. Some of us are Tennessee fans in here. We're not going to bash those who aren't. But some of us know of Reggie White. Great professional player. A couple years after he's out of the league, dies of a heart attack. Which shows, guys, that a person's physical prowess doesn't always reflect his health. The way that we look on the outside doesn't always reflect what's going on the inside. You know, there's also the opposite of that. You know, there's people that could eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and a dozen Cokes, drink a dozen Cokes a day, and their heart is fine. doesn't always show what's going on the outside is what's going on the inside. In Atlanta, if you've ever been to Atlanta, especially in rush hour, or if you've been on I-85, I-285, there's a junction where they meet. And if you're up under it and you see, it's a marvel. It's called the Spaghetti Junction. And if you've ever been in traffic between 4 and 6 p.m., you might drive in doing fine, listen to that Christian music, feeling good, but you're not going in and coming out the same. You know, the good news, everybody makes it out. The bad news is fewer people come out with the same attitude as when they walked in. Our heart, guys, is the hub of where traffic goes through. Unfortunately, our negative experiences get caught up there. Eventually, they make their way out through our words or through our actions. You know, we're mad and we don't know why. We're upset at the world. We're upset somebody who gives us the wrong look, and we have no clue why. We are resentful to certain people, even though they don't deserve it. There are four enemies of our heart, guys, that I want us to talk about that are poisoning our faith, our friendship, and our character as we speak. The first one is guilt. The second one would be anger. Third would be greed. And finally, jealousy. And secrecy, guys, are these four things' greatest ally. The longer that we keep it in and we try to keep people from knowing what's going on, the worse these things can erupt. Guilt, anger, greed, jealousy, each result in a debt-to-debtor relationship. Let me explain that out. If someone owes you money, let's say someone in this church owes you money today, how is that relationship? Are you sitting on different sides of the aisle? One in the front, one in the back? One trying to rush out before they get the look? If someone owes you money and will not pay, how does that relationship go? How do you feel towards them? Now, let's just say somebody is given a large sum of money and they're unable to pay that debt. They're unable to pay it off for whatever reason. There's two things that can happen. Either that some person is going to pay up, or the second thing is the person who loaned the money cancels that debt. Either you pay up or you cancel the debt. But as long as that debt is unpaid or unforgiven, that debt governs the relationship. Guilt says, I owe you. When we have guilt in our lives, we realize that we owe someone an apology. We realize that we've done someone wrong. So guilt says that I owe you. Anger says you owe me. You get angry when you don't get what you want. You know, that's usually what anger is, isn't it, guys? We get angry because we're not getting what we want in life. Or we're not getting from that person what we want. So anger says that you owe me. Greed tells us, or says, I owe me. Let's be clear about greed, guys. Greed isn't just for the rich. I struggle with greed. because it's mine. I'm reevaluating that process as we are planning to move to Brazil, that it's not mine. All this stuff that I've valued in life, that I've put so much money into, will get pennies when I go to sell it. Greed says, I owe me. You know, it's hard for greedy people to part with their money or with their stuff. It's not always money. It's with their stuff. Jealousy says, God owes me. We look at what people have around us and we see what we feel that we're so good, that God loves us so much that we should have what they have. This morning I was reading an article over a man in India who built the first $1 billion home. God must love him. We start to feel like God owes us something. That God owes me, since I'm such a good Christian, since I'm one of his followers, if he's blessing these people who don't love him and acknowledge him, why isn't he blessing me? Why isn't he giving to me? Let's say we go to a doctor's appointment. Doctor looks at your heart. He said, just want to be honest. On a scale of 1 to 10, you know, 1 being your heart's great, 10 being it's pretty nasty. We're going to have to do something here. Doctor tells us that we're at a 7. And he said, I don't want to scare you. I don't want to freak you out right now. I want to let you know that this can be easily resolved if you just eat right and you exercise 3 times a week. 3 times a week, I just need you to exercise 3 times a week. You know, no surgery. And the first thing that would probably come out of my mouth, what? Eat right? You know, like biscuit and gravy right? What's the deal? Exercise is getting up to grab my food and exercise. We start to complain. When all I have to do is you need to eat right, you need to exercise. Start complaining. The pain and the exhaustion, you know, I have been able to work out with Chuck here for the past year, and Chuck wears me out. I walk, every morning when I walk in after a day of working out, something's hurt. Something's sore. My body's exhausted. He loves it when I come in complaining. You know, when we go to the doctor, we're like, we start complaining about the exercise that we're supposed to do. You know, doc, really, I just don't look good in spandex. It's kind of like a hippo wearing pantyhose. You know, just let's work out something. Let's, you know, I pay you a little extra, and you give me some pills that'll just make it all better. Miracle pills, right, Dr. Davis? Miracle pills. Just give them to me. I don't have to work out anymore, and everything will be good. You know, we don't wait till our heart is healthy to exercise. We don't wait till everything's good to start exercising. You exercise to get your heart in shape. God tells us we need to change our spiritual exercises. And we laugh at him. God, you must be joking. You know, you gave me forgiveness. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm good. And we walk through life in our day-to-day grind, and we think we're okay. We think we're fine. Today's been a good day. You know, I haven't got a call that someone's dying. I don't need to study. We think we're okay when we're dying inside. We don't realize that God has so much more in store for us. We always just want the quick fix. One of my friends, about 5'10", weighed 450 pounds. We'll call him John, because that's his name. And John, big man, lovable guy, but had a problem with eating too much, apparently. We talked to him, several friends of him talked to him and said, you know, you need to look at doing this surgery. Because he tried dieting, he tried the exercise, but his heart wouldn't allow him. He goes and has the gastric bypass surgery. And the doctor told him, you know, if you go back to your eating ways and to your lack of exercise, you're going to wind up in the same position. There are a little bit of John in all of us. And we like to laugh off the bad personalities and the bad traits that we have as just being a part of us. But those are habits that need to be broken. Those are things that need to be out of our lives. So how do we do that? Let's start off with guilt. Guilt is conquered with confession. Our guilt is conquered with us confessing, asking forgiveness from that person, us telling the person that we've done wrong, what we've done. Anger is conquered by us forgiving, by us granting forgiveness. Our greed is conquered by generosity, giving away of that stuff, giving away of that money. And jealousy is conquered with celebration. Celebrate the good things that people have around you. If you're jealous of a brother here or a sister here in our congregation, then be happy for them. Be happy they're blessed. Don't be angry that you're not. Celebrate with them that God has blessed them. Four things. We're going to confess, we're going to forgive, we're going to give, and we're going to celebrate. These are habits that will change everything in our lives. The stuff that is within our hearts that we keep hiding, that we keep down, the sickness within us is the way that we're going to get rid of them. Once these routines become a part of us and start to define the rhythm of our hearts and start to become a part of who we are, your life will noticeably be transformed. People won't know who they're talking to anymore. If we start to get rid of the things that are ailing us and start focusing on the good that God has given us. Once we remove that debt-to-debtor relationship, it paves the way for better communication, for better understanding and openness. You know, confession allows us to come out of hiding. Forgiveness allows others to come out from their hiding. Generosity allows us to partner with God as He shows us the world around us and the ways that we can give and the blessings that we can be to others. Celebration makes us a vehicle through which God communicates His pleasure. You know, those four new habits, guys, us confessing, us forgiving, our generosity and our celebration sets us free to love God the way that He meant for us to love Him. We can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. But as long as we have the anger, as we have the greed, as we have the guilt, as we have the jealousy, then our attempts at love will not happen. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Angry people are not patient people. Guilty people are not kind. Jealous people are full of envy. Greedy people cannot help but to boast. Anger makes us rude. Greed tempts us to be self-seeking. And jealousy thrives on scorekeeping. And greedy people are self-protecting. And guilt keeps us from trusting others because we have proved untrustworthy ourselves. John 13:34 says, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another." So you must love one another. Confess, forgive, give, and celebrate. New things to live by. And if today, man, you've got some anger in your heart, you're feeling guilty, maybe you've been greedy, or maybe you're just jealous, and you want to pray that God can help to remove those things out of your heart, and you want to start on a path where you can start following God to the fullest, and we want you to come. We want to pray with you. And if you want to come today and say, you know, I want to be a part of God's kingdom, I want to learn to live out these principles, I want to love like God loves, then we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and as we sing.